What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Jets on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Friday night on The Fan in New York. KM to 10:30 p.m., something like that. Hopefully you're safe wherever you are. If you're out here riding in these streets, staying warm. I got off the train today, and it wasn't windy, and it wasn't 20 degrees. I didn't have any gloves on. I was like, woo, we're back. It was like 38 degrees or something. I'm like, this is warm now. Anyway, speaking of the Jets, your official station to talk Jets. The Jets will interview Vikings quarterback coach Josh McCown, I saw. But actually, I think I saw something about maybe not, that he's not looking for head coaching. I don't know. That's what I said about the internet, too. I get so many things. No, they did interview him. We have completed an interview with Josh McCown, but I saw something else about like McCown not being ready to take a head coaching spot. But why not? Of course he'd be ready. But he's a quarterback coach. Sam Darnold's quarterback coach, or was, Jet connection there, as those guys were both on the same roster some years ago. Brian Flores has completed an interview with the New York Jets. And I just don't understand the Jets as far as their order of operations. A guy that they interviewed for GM has come off the board. And now, if it's me, I'm putting a rush on that, right? I'm putting a rush on the GM search because I want my GM to have a say in who I'm choosing as my head coach. So Mike Borgonzi, yeah, he's Gonzi. Da-dum-dum-tsh. Assistant general manager of the Chiefs, who they said is known for his scouting, and the Tennessee Titans are really looking for help in their scouting department so they don't waste any more picks. They have the number one pick. This is a huge draft for them. They go and grab him. So he comes off the board for the Jets. If I'm the Jets, I would put some urgency on that. And speaking of urgency, I think the 49ers have some urgency to hire former Jets coach Rob Saleh. The quotes out there are saying that the 49ers are prepared to make Rob Saleh the highest paid defensive coordinator in the entire NFL to double back. Can't get that old thing back. Restore the feeling. Ignite some old flames. The 49ers are trying to. They said they'll make him the highest paid defensive coordinator in all the land if he signs with them. Why wouldn't you? Rob, what? Take your family. Go back to Cali. I'm going. Go back to Cali and be super rich. The Jets already had to pay you to go away. Like, what a life. What a life. Rob, go back to Levi's Stadium and run the steps and be so rich that all seven of your kids, you could just give each one of them $1 million and be good. 888-808-1019. I'm rooting for that guy. I hope that happens for him. What else with the Jets? I think that's all I got. Mario, Long Beach. He came back. It's on you, Mario. Go for it.
What's going on, Keith? Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I don't know what happened before. I guess we just had a bad connection, you know?
Yeah, it happens, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know. So you like Buffalo, right? Close game?
I don't know, man. I something is just telling me Josh Allen is going to make more plays, will them to win. It's in their building. They have a bunch of different playmakers. I've seen Lamar fold. And if it's the MVP battle head-to-head, I don't know. I'm leaning Josh Allen. I'm just leaning Josh Allen being a
a game
I don't know, but the last couple of games, Lamar has picked it up. And I think the big ace in the hole here, Keith, is Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He never had anything like that before. He's got, like, a Hall of Famer now. And I don't know, I mean, you were a quarterback. You're looking at the offense. Man, I saw a couple of plays. You were watching the games closely, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I saw a couple of times where he was going in the read option. I couldn't even see who had the damn ball.
That's what
and
I'm saying.
And there was a couple of times where he was running with it, and three guys were tackling Henry, and the other way around.
Pick your poison. I mean, it's tough to stop. They're both, and I mean, I was saying before that Derrick Henry was lining up getting a direct snap, or when they do that zone read, it's so deceptive. You don't know if he's giving it or taking it. And Lamar has talked about that. Like he'll pull it. I don't know. He's a magician with that stuff. I'm looking at their last opponents, and I know the Ravens beat them earlier in the year, and they beat them by a lot, 35-10, in their own building. I don't know. I something's telling me Josh Allen, but it could be. That's why it's the Sunday night football game. That's why it's a pick 'em right now.
Yeah, but let me ask you a quick question, and then I'll let you go, and I want to listen to your response. What I don't understand is I think people unfairly target Lamar. You know, and I'll give you an example. A lot of people on the talk shows were saying, on TV, I'm not even going to say who it was, were saying, oh, if either one loses, who is it going to be worse for, Buffalo or Kansas City, or Buffalo or the Ravens, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you really look at it, it's the same because Josh Allen came in the league the same year as Lamar.
Yep.
If he loses, he hasn't
drafted
been
higher
anywhere
than him.
But one. Why is it so much like, oh, if they lose and Lamar plays bad, then it's going to be like the same thing. Oh, he's like Judge. He's like tremendous. In the give the guy a little bit of a break. Why aren't they saying that about Josh Allen?
Josh Allen doesn't have an MVP trophy yet, and he might not be getting the MVP.
He ain't getting it this year.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, it should be Lamar. I don't know. I think it's based off of that. Getting that hardware and then folding in the playoffs time and time and time again. They're very critical of Lamar also because he's out of this world. We've never seen anything like this guy. His abilities, and it's like, hey, how come you can't use those abilities to take over the game and get your team to the Super Bowl and win it? When he was drafted, he said, they're going to get a Super Bowl out of me. They haven't made an appearance yet. So, yeah, they're critical on Lamar because he's special.
Don't you blame last year was ridiculous coaching? They let him
Todd
go back
Monken.
And pass like every time in the second half against Kansas City, right?
They abandoned the run.
Yeah, so that was bad play calling. They got to run the ball. And you know what they did last week? And I'll let you go because I don't want to hold you too long.
Yeah.
Well, what they did was very smart. They came out and let Lamar run. So he got some confidence because he was running.
He was calling his own number. I saw the game. I think there was one point where there was like five or six plays in a row. I'm like, he's running again. He's running the ball. It's him only running the ball. I don't know. I think with Todd Monken being here another year, they've learned from their mistakes. Thanks for the call, Mario. 888-808-1019. I'd rather see Lamar versus Mahomes. But I wouldn't be mad at Allen versus Mahomes because Allen beat Mahomes this year. And I mean, who's going to stop the Chiefs? Somebody's got to stop the Chiefs. I would lean towards a team that put that, that one on their record. I know he lost two games, but I can't count Bo Nix and the Broncos. That's why it's tough to pick. That's why the spread has been like a point, point and a half. Another thing, I don't trust Justin Tucker. I don't trust him. And it made me think of Mahomes and Kelsey when they moved his like little kicking tee. And they zapped him. I don't trust him. If it comes down to kicking, I don't trust Tucker to make the kicks. I don't know about this Bills defense either, though. It might be too much for them to handle Lamar, Henry, Mark Andrews. But that's why we got to wait till 6:30 and watch. All right, switching gears a little bit here to the baseball. With all the talk now around Roki Sasaki and the Dodgers adding another star player and it being another Japanese player and them just finessing everything and figuring out the game, I really do, I look at the Mets and I'm like, okay, now the Mets pivoting from Pete. Now you got to do more. Like, they got to go get Tanner Scott. They got to go add another bat, I believe. Because when you look at the pitching, like, I had a call last night where I forget the caller's name. He tried to tell me that the Mets have a lot of depth in their starting rotation. They have a lot of, like, mid-depth. The Dodgers have a lot of depth with Ohtani, Yamamoto, Blake Snell, now Sasaki, Tyler Glasnow, Dustin May. There's so many guys. Bobby Miller, Michael Grove, Tony Gosselin coming back. Kershaw's trying to give it a go again. Who else am I forgetting if I go back to my notes? They have so many guys that can contribute for them. Young guys coming up. I don't know. Who stops the Dodgers? We have to band together. Hopefully it's the Mets. And if it's not the Mets, maybe it's the Yankees in the World Series. But if I am the Yankees and I am the Mets, I'm saying, okay, we can't get done. We've got to get better. They don't stop getting better. Martin is in Guilford, Connecticut on the Fan. Hello, Martin.
Hey, Keith. How you doing tonight?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Excellent. So, by the way, you're rattling off like 84 Dodger pitchers. I think you forgot Dustin May. He probably has the best stuff of any of them.
Dustin May coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a slider that breaks like 10 feet. By the way, before I talk about the Dodgers, you were talking about the Knicks a little while ago. Back when Riley and Van Gundy were coaching the Knicks, you couldn't stop Knicks callers from calling up this station. Mm-hmm. That's how popular that team was. Maybe it's just a sign about not popular the NBA is anymore, but I hardly ever hear Knicks calls on your station anymore. Kind of weird.
I mean, right now the Knicks won't dominate off-season baseball talk. They won't even dominate the Jets coaching GM search.
Yeah.
I mean,
Knicks fans are legit, don't get me wrong, but they don't have the popular imagination right now. That's for sure.
I think they like this team. I think they believe that the team is going to compete, but I don't think they ultimately believe this team is a champion. I don't think that they're all – they were more bought in this time last year. January last year, you couldn't tell Knicks fans that they weren't going to the NBA Finals. When they made the trade for OG and they saw Randall and DiVincenzo and these guys playing together, they're like, oh, this team's unstoppable.
Yeah, expectations were low and they got high, and now expectations are high and they're kind of flattening out. But anyway, back to my Dodgers, my friend. A couple weeks ago, you're on with Big Chris, and you said, and you're not going to deny it, that the Dodgers are not winning next year.
Not winning back-to-back, and I'll say that until they do it because no one has done it since the Yankees did it.
But they've had an amazing offseason, including a Korean kid that you look at his stats, he looks great. I mean, Snell is like a Cy Young winner, I think, twice, and no one's even talking about him.
Teoscar Hernandez, Michael Conforto.
And you know what makes the Dodgers different? Well, maybe it doesn't make them different, but the players in their team are all incredibly high-character people. I mean, you're ranking on Vladdy Guerrero, who's nothing like his father, who's a total gentleman. And, you know, you got Harper and the Phillies, you got Machado, you got Tatis, you got, frankly, I think Soto was a bit of a punk. But, I mean, the Dodgers are like straight people all the way through, and that's what they look for.
Except when you get them on a podcast gloating about how they beat the Yankees. They're good guys, minus how they, you know, really danced on our grave.
The only people that care about that are people who live in your area of the world.
Well, it hurt. On top of the pain, it hurt to hear them say, oh, yeah. Well, really, it was Joe Kelly and I think Walker Buehler, who's no longer on the team.
How could you take Joe Kelly seriously? He didn't even play this year.
Exactly. But, hey,
it's ridiculous.
He was the mouthpiece. He was the one saying, oh, yeah, they said the Yankees would have been the eighth best team in the postseason if they reseeded or something ridiculous.
Hey, you were talking about Stafford having a bad record in the cold. That was probably when he was with Detroit when he had, like, 15 people chain gang going after him and he had, like, no team. So you really can't count that. And one more thing about football, which I actually used to like a lot more than baseball. You're talking about the 49ers for a second, Saleh. That team is going to slowly drift away. They're getting older.
I can't wait. I love it.
Their running back is getting older. Their quarterback is not that great. Their receivers are breaking down.
They're about to pay him, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're not. I mean, they had their time. They didn't make it. They're going to, like many teams that almost make it and don't, they're going to be a 500 team for a while, in my opinion.
I love it. Thanks for the call, Martin. 888-808-1019. Unfortunately, I chose Jerry Jones Club back when kids were choosing to rock with the Niners. And fast forward all these years, the Niners haven't won. The Niners have been to Super Bowls. They haven't won one. So all those Niners fans that are bang, bang, Niner gang, 49ers, baby, all you've had is heartbreak. All you've had is depression. It must be nice to get to the Super Bowl, but it ain't nice to lose multiple Super Bowls.
You ready for Robert Saleh in Dallas?
He's not going to Dallas. I know they're interviewing him or they're going to interview him, but they're interviewing Deion. Kellen Moore, Leslie Frazier. The Dallas Cowboys don't have a clue. Jerry Jones is on a solo mission. He's leading the charge on who they're going to interview.
And the crazy part is, like, that's such an attractive job just based on Cowboy stuff. And let's keep in mind, they have an all-star at each of the three major phases of the game, right? They have Dak. You have CeeDee Lamb.
Micah Parsons.
Brandon Aubrey.
Javon Diggs is a good corner.
And that's a factor. Like, I know everyone rags on the Cowboys, and for good reason. Much like the Yankees, the bar is set high, and they want to win, right? So there are similarities there. At what point, you got to get, like, a solid coach in there. And I know that it's not going to happen because they're afraid of Jerry just ruining it for them.
Yeah, it's not even afraid of Jerry. It's like, who wants to work for Woody Johnson? Same thing with Jerry Jones. It's like, you know you're going to get undermined. You know that you're like, if, all right.
Well, at least Woody's not the GM. Jerry's the GM. That's the difference.
I've talked about the Trey Lance situation forever, and maybe the Giants want to take a flyer on Trey Lance. That's a name that popped up that I was like, maybe, hey, if he's low cost, bring him in here. Jerry randomly surprised the entire franchise when he traded a fourth round pick to the 49ers, who we were just speaking about, for Trey Lance. And he told the media that, oh, like, I don't have to check with anybody on that. I can just do that. And it's like, come on, bro. So you mean to tell me young Trey Lance shows up, he's got a locker in there. Now Dak and Cooper Rush got to, like, sit in meetings with this kid and bring him along. And now your scouting department and those guys, they're missing a fourth round pick that you've heard me cry about. Could have been Bucky Irving. Could have been Braylon Allen. Hell, could have been Tyrone Tracy. You needed a running back. You brought back Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott. Like, those little type of things grind my gears.
Right.
And I can't imagine how much it must grind your gears if you're Mike McCarthy.
Right. But in theory, and listen, Trey Lance isn't anything good. It was a third overall pick, right? So trading a fourth round for maybe he gets put in a different environment and some things can change and maybe McCarthy can unlock
Jerry,
him.
Jerry, you got knocked out back-to-back years by the 49ers. If Kyle Shanahan doesn't want him and can't fix him, what makes you think that you have the personnel to fix the kid? Dumb. That blew me, bro. And even in this last game, they gave Trey Lance the start in the last game. Cooper Rush was a few snaps away from cashing out on a $500,000 incentive. It's petty. And after the game, it's not the flex you think it is, Jerry, to tell the media, oh, I had no idea about that. You're the GM. Don't tell the media you had no idea that your starting quarterback could have made $500,000 playing that game. Like, it just looks all bad. It's such a disgrace. That's why you don't see me wearing it. You see me wearing my Devil's gear. I'll even once in a while throw on my Nets gear.
Right.
You do not see me wear any Jerry Jones gear.
And that's not...
I've thrown a lot of it into the donation bins.
Right, and that's not going to change. And mainly, and this is not, like, you know, negative or whatever, Jerry's not selling the team before he, you
know... He's 81.
Jerry's not selling team before he leaves this rock. Let's be real. Jerry will be the owner of the Cowboys.
And even if he's laid up somewhere, he's going to still be calling the shots.
He's not selling the Cowboys.
Oh, he turned 82 this year.
Turned 82. Right.
Closer.
So he's not. It's going to be Jerry's team, and it's going to stay within the entire family. The only hope Cowboys fans have is that the Suns are willing to let go of control and to get an actual GM in here and maybe interview 15 guys like the Jets are doing.
You don't have time for all that, honestly. You gotta get it going. 888-808-1019. We got a break here, but I see the calls for the Mets. Pete Alonso conversation now swirling around the Mets. What are they doing? The great Pete Alonso pivot. It's clear that they've moved on from Pete because there are funds going out there to get Jesse Winker back. Boom. Bring in AJ Minter. What happens next? I think you gotta be looking for another bat. Anthony Santander is hanging out. Mets fans on hold. We'll get to it. People that want to talk Pete Alonso, we'll do that right after this.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. I jumped the gun.
In a
The Gorillaz. Yo, I used to love the Gorillaz. Good drop, Paulie. One, because I just always love cartoons. Yeah. Hey, the Gorillaz, one of their last albums is super underrated. I'll figure out what that is, but we'll get back to the calls at 888-808-1019. Talking Pete Alonso and the Mets right now. I said jokingly in the beginning, I'd rather talk about Alonso morning than talk about Pete Alonso again, but that's the topic at hand. We're, you know, really just like a day or two into processing that Pete Alonso and his Mets career, his Mets legacy, his Mets time and tenure is over. Seven is in Silicon Valley on the Fan in New York.
Hey, I want to talk about Pete because I think he should be able to take that contract only so he can be able to have a one-year option on it. And hopefully he'll be able to prove himself and out afterwards. What do you think?
You're saying he should take the Mets contract, the last-ditch effort that the Mets offered him?
Yes.
I don't think he's – I think he's got too much pride to do it. Thanks for the call. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to take that and have another prove-it year. This year as a prove-it year did not go so well for him. I don't think he wants to look at David Stearns. I don't think he wants to walk in that clubhouse at this point. I think it is O-V-E-R. I just don't think – I don't think Pete Alonso is taking the money from the Mets. Now, will he end up taking less money elsewhere? Yeah, but it's a blank slate. It's a fresh start. It's a new adventure, and I think that he could use a change of scenery now at this point. Dylan is in Floral Park on the Fan next. What's up, Dylan?
Keith, I respectfully disagree, just like the last caller. I think every Mets fan on the planet wants Pete back, whether we admit it or not, whether some people lie, like, oh, I'll burn my Juan Soto jersey. I don't care if he's a Yankee or not. Mets fans love this guy. He hit a home run, the most important home run a Met has hit, arguably in our history. Obviously, you got Mike Piazza, and we won a couple World Series here and there. But, Keith, this is one of those things where Steve Cohen has to understand right now, if you do not bring Pete back, we've already lost DeGrom. We can't keep losing our homegrown guys. At a certain point, he's got to tell Boris or whoever, we're not going to give you money for these guys like Soto. We're not going to be in on this if everyone goes to the Dodgers and we can't even keep a guy like Pete. At a certain point, Steve Cohen's got to do the right thing by the Mets fans. We want Pete Alonso back, whether they're a Mets fans or, oh, well, we'll take Bregman and Santander and we'll be okay. We need Pete. Somebody's got
to
make it happen.
Dylan, I hate to break it to you, brother. That ship is sailed.
It's not over till he signs with the Orioles.
SS Cohen and Stearns is sailing way away from Pete.
I think Pete needs to wake up. Pete needs to hear this call right now and say, yeah, my pride's there, but nobody will love me like the Mets fans love me. And he knows that. Suck it up, tail between your legs, prove it 1 year, come back, win a World Series with the Mets, with the fans who have been there with you since the beginning, the ones who love you. That's what I got, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Dylan. I don't know if you started sipping already. It's 9:30 p.m. Maybe you got a little buzzing on, but that's a fairy tale. You just kicked on the Fan. We'll come back 1 year, tail between his legs, win a World Series with the Mets.
He wasn't, like, totally wrong. I do think there's a way where Scott Boras does crawl back to Steve Cohen and say, can we do,
Scott
like,
Boras calls?
3 for 80.
No,
he or will. 3 for 85.
He will because shake at every one point, MLB tree.
If Pete Alonso truly wants to be a Met for life, then he tells Scott.
You said he lied. You said he doesn't want to be.
Right now, he doesn't. If he wants to prove me wrong.
He doesn't. He wants to be paid.
If it's all about money, then it's all about money.
It always was about money. But that's then why don't you got
Juan Soto. Don't say you want to be a Met for life then if it's all about money. But if he doesn't want to
money,
be a Met for life.
Power, respect, what you need in life. He wants to be respected as a guy that's done a lot for the franchise.
He has $23 million, by the way, is perfect money for him. It's maybe a little bit above market value for that type of first baseman. He's not going to get paid more than Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson. He's not going to do that. We overpay for Juan Soto because he's a top player in the sport. Pete isn't.
It's over, yo. There is no crawling back. We're talking about Scott Boras. This guy writes puns for his players. He cannot wait to hold court at the winter meetings so everybody can hear him talk about, oh, we're not in contract hibernation with the polar bear.
What if this goes to spring training like it did with with Jordan Montgomery last year.
A little different because that's a pitcher. Snow. He's got to get on his throwing program and ramp up. Pete's just got to be in the batting cage, running a little bit, doing some fielding
practice.
Pete's
going to want to do that? The guy's been in Flushing his entire career?
We are already at the point where Pete is going to see this through until some team, which now, like I just said, there are two factors. Last night, the main factor I was saying was, well, Pete's gone, and in less than a month, teams are going to report to spring training. They're going to look at their roster, look at their lineup, and say, we need a bat. Now, there are teams in the National League, specifically the West, and the National League that are going to face the Dodgers and say, look at the pitching. They just got Suzuki. We need another bat. The market for Pete will become, I won't say heat up, but it will materialize. And I don't think it's the Blue Jays. I don't think he's got to go to Canada. But I think somebody's
going to go. If Pete... If,
a two-year
if,
deal with an opt-out?
If it's and that's a... If it's truly about the money, if it's truly about the money for Pete.
No, it's about more than that now. It was about the money with Steve Cohen, who's a $20 billion man and just gave $800 million to Juan Soto. It was about getting the money from him, right? Now.
So it's a shakedown. So Pete's shaking down Steve Cohen.
Oh, it's not a shakedown.
It's a shakedown.
It's negotiations.
No,
that,
it's not.
Negotiations that he did not win that went south for him. He's taking the L on
See,
that.
See, the issue is it Pete Alonso to blame, or was it Scott Boras?
Both.
One of them is at fault, and it's not
Scott
the Mets.
Scott Boras represents Pete Alonso.
It's not the Mets.
Pete Alonso's not in these meetings. Pete Alonso's in the gym with Sean Manaea.
But he controls his agent. If he wants to get something done, you tell your agent
Scott
get it
Boras,
done.
This is not Scott Boras' first rodeo.
Agreed.
Scott Boras got $800 million out of the same guy for his other client. So Pete Alonso is trusting that Scott Boras is going to get him the most money. So he's expecting, hey, Scott, we're not done here. You got... I don't know, 3-4 more weeks.
This
get more money from elsewhere.
This is on
whether it's AAV.
This is always
whether
on
it's years.
This is always on the player, and specifically when Pete chose Scott Boras, essentially signaling to everyone that he only cared about money and nothing else. This is what it comes down to. And Mets fans love this guy. We love this guy.
You better put that love on Juan Soto and his La Familia. Keep your love. Let's go to John in Queens. John, you're on the Fan.
Good evening, Keith. How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for calling.
No, very disappointed. Very disappointed. I was a 86. In 86, I was a Mets fan, season ticket holder, and I bought season tickets this year for Sunday only, thinking, you know, oh, we're going to get Soto, and then, you know, we're going to get Alonso. And I just think this guy, Stearns, is going to the well for the second time. Last year was magic. I don't think it's going to happen this year. And we need Alonso because you're just wasting a 1 year of the Soto-Lindor combination. You need a bat in there. I mean, and the irony is that Alonso will be in Citi Field opening day, but he's going to be in the other dugout because they play the Blue Jays. That's going to be the irony. He will be at Citi Field. They open at Citi Field with the Blue Jays, and I'm going to be there.
I wouldn't mind that storyline, but it's not a guarantee. He doesn't have to go to Toronto. They kind of do have a first baseman right now.
Well, there was an... Hello?
You're still there, yeah.
Hello?
Yes, you're still live.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, I would have given Alonso 1 year, $31 million. Because he wants the AD. Give him 1 year and say thank you. Yeah, 1 year, thank you, and then let him go get his free agent contract.
I think he was. See, that's the thing. I think specifically from the Mets, and thanks for the call, John, he wasn't looking for a one-year deal from the franchise that he's been with for years. He was looking for a longer-term deal. He was looking to be a forever Met. He was looking to break records and continue his legacy here and be with one of these teams that, you know, have Juan Soto and Lindor that could potentially get over the hump and get back to a World Series, win a World Series, and that's not real anymore. 888-808-1019, it's tough. It's heartbreaking. I think you looked at this offseason as we're going to get Juan Soto, got him. And then one of the next moves was to get Pete. And as time went on, it started to become more real and materialize that this was not going to happen. Scott Boras wasn't going to blink. Pete Alonso wasn't going to blink. And neither was David Stearns and unfortunately, King Cohen, right? This isn't very king-like. King Cohen with all the money, where is the king to step in and say what he said a couple years ago? I'm not tone deaf. I know what the fans want. You know, I was reading those quotes a couple days ago when I did my Pete Alonso open. We want to keep him. He's an important part of our team today and hopefully in the future. We know the fans feel strongly about him, and I'm not tone deaf. I totally understand the fans love Pete. I hope he hits 55 home runs and makes it so difficult on me in free agency. I would call that a great outcome. Guess what? He ain't hit 55. He ain't hit 45. He didn't make it that difficult. So some of this is on Pete, too. It's on everybody. It did not turn into what Pete wanted. It did not turn into what Scott Boras wanted. And it did not turn into what Mets fans wanted. And the New York Mets are not going to bet against themselves. The New York Mets are not going to extend for him, even though a lot of us feel like they should. They don't see that as a smart investment. And clearly Steve Cohen made $20 billion making smart investments. John is down in Bayonne on the Fan next. What's up, John?
Hey, don't you see the writing on the wall? Soto's running his team. He don't want Pete there because it's going to take his glory away because Soto? He loves being around Judge, and Judge still was the king in New York. He don't like that. He wants Glad there. He wants Lindor there. He don't want Pete there. And Pete would be a great Met to stay there, but guess what? He ain't. He's going to Toronto. And then the Mets are going to give everything in the world to get Glad. And guess what? It's going to blow up in their face, just like it did with the Padres. Soto's not the man. He's not the man. Comes down to it, if Judge didn't be the man he was and say, Juan, I'm going to let you play what right field and I'll play center, he would not. Listen, Harper, he couldn't get along with Harper. He wants to be the man. He wants to be the king of New York. Never going to happen because Judge is there. So when it comes down to it, the Mets shot themselves in the foot. They should have signed Alonso first and then say to Juan, you want to play with us? And I bet you would have said, no way, I'll stay with the Yankees. But guess what? Juan's running that team.
Well, this is his final team. Thank you for the call, John. I disagree. And this is why I disagree. Juan Soto is the highest paid baseball player ever. And he's going to be that for a long time. He is the man. And he hasn't stepped foot in the batter's box in Citi Field. 888-808-1019. I don't think he looks at anybody, not Judge, not Lindor, not Pete Alonso. He's not threatened by Pete Alonso. Like, if I keep it funky with y'all, yeah, Pete Alonso last year, if you asked Juan Soto about Pete Alonso's numbers last year and what he did last year, Juan Soto would say, me? You think I'm worried about him? I've already sold more jerseys. With 22 on them, I haven't played a game for the Mets. I think there may be something in the clubhouse dynamic. I joked about how didn't the players have a group chat with Steve Cohen? That like Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso, I would assume were in. Now Alonso's out. I think this is Lindor's like team moving forward. I know it's his team moving forward after last year. He is the captain now. And it's not Pete. And Pete isn't that kind of leader anyway because he's goofy. And, like, remember Pete? Like, I think Pete didn't really – he didn't know how to speak on the whole Jorge Lopez thing. And people were like, oh, come on, Pete. You got to be more of a leader. He's just like – I think he was hurt and rehabbing or doing something. Like, wasn't even there for that game. And he came and he just didn't have an opinion on it. And people were like, oh, come on, man. You're Mr. Matt. You're the polar bear. You got to talk about that. Like, you got to have something better than that to say about, like, the culture and the team. And it's over for that. This is Lindor's team and Juan Soto's team, but I don't look at Juan Soto as the reason that they didn't re-sign Pete. The math is there. The numbers are there. They did not value him at the number that he thought he was going to be valued at. The end. The numbers did not meet up. What Boras and Pete Alonso wanted in a contract, the Mets never got there. Juan Soto is minding his business, doing hurdle workouts in the Dominican Republic, wearing Mets gear. He's playing in the Dominican Baseball League. He's talking to their Dominican player development facility to the young kids. Juan Soto does not care about what they do as far as like Pete Alonso goes at all. And like we can talk about him protecting him in the lineup. Juan Soto cares about Juan Soto. One thing I learned about Juan Soto this year, Juan Soto is about him. He is a stone cold killer. He does not care. He might not even know right now that they've moved on from Pete Alonso. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good drop, Paulie. said before, that money, power, respect. What you need in life, you'll see the light. All right. Running out of time. 888-808-1019. Before I do get out of here, I'll give you my picks. I've already given you my thoughts on most of these NFL games. We're still talking about Pete Alonso and the Mets breakup. Sasaki and the Dodgers. Obviously, he was going to be a Dodger. He just gave everybody the runaround, took all of his official visits. You know, he was like one of those girls that go on these dating apps. You know, she's just trying to get as many free meals as she could get. He went and got some good food from all these teams, probably stayed in some nice hotels, even got some team-issued gear from the Padres. He collected all just to join the Dodgers. Joel Wolf, should have known better. That's Yamamoto's agent, and they played everybody. I mean, they played everybody last year, too. Mets fans thought Yamamoto was going to be on the Mets. So, Bobby and Belmore, you're back on the Fan. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, good evening, Keith. Now that the Dodgers got Sasaki, and Scout says his splitter is unhittable, in addition to a 100-mile-per fastball heater that he could get up to, and now they have a fearsome foursome in Snell, Otani, Amato, and himself, the Mets better get Guerrero now for this year. Because
they can't.
So they could get their own fearsome foursome with Biento, Soto, and Lindor and himself. Because they've got the Dodgers now, unless, Otani is not the same with his elbow, that's going to be a difficult thing to beat them in the playoffs. I think they have to get Guerrero. They really do, if they're going to now match the Dodgers. And speaking of another number four, I want to get your opinion on, do you think the Knicks should go down to the fourth seed and face the paper tiger? Cavaliers. Listen, I think that's Mitchell in the playoffs. This guy couldn't even beat Duke at half speed against Dallas when he was on Utah. He doesn't exactly really perform well in the playoffs. And I don't care if they win 70 games. I want to see them how they go in how Donovan Mitchell plays in the playoffs, because he hasn't won a playoff round, I believe, in his whole career.
I think they might have gotten out of the first round. Thanks for the call, Bobby. It's funny you mention all of that. One, I don't think we're worrying about seeding yet. I think they're 3.5 games up on the Bucks. I think they're holding that 3 seed. I don't know so much about. I think you play who you play, and you don't try and match up against anybody. Be careful what you wish for. These Kenny Atkinson-led Cavaliers, they're not like the Cavs were years before with Donovan Mitchell. They've got a few different players too. It's not just Donovan Mitchell. I was watching the game the other night. I think a week ago against OKC, Donovan Mitchell had like 4 points in the first half. I wouldn't sleep on them. The Knicks shouldn't be worried about seeding. They should worry about their own health and making another move trade before the deadline, which is fast approaching as well, to kind of shore up their team. As I see, Dante DiVincenzo talking to Jalen Brunson right now. They both have their mouths covered. DiVincenzo's like, bro, are you crazy? Trade for me back. You need points off the bench? Trade for me back, bro. What? 888-808-1019. Greg is in Verona. Greg, you're on the Fan.
K-Mac P, thanks for taking the call. I'll make it quick. I know you're up against it. So in terms of the NBA, I heard Adam Silver on another show this week talk about how they really can't fix load management. And, the whole narrative around family of five, working class family goes to go watch LeBron and, it's a rest day. I have a solution. The solution is that anyone who takes a rest day, there has to be some type of fan engagement. So think halftime show. Imagine Karl Anthony Towns out there at half court. Give him five balls. He's got to take a shot, each one. Or, one-on-one versus mascot. Or, have the cheerleaders out there and him trying to, beat them in a 4v5. Or have, fans come on the court and, have, teenage
Or let's just
kids.
Have the NBA Cup and the play-in tournament, or what else are we going to do? A dunk contest, skills
Listen,
challenge.
Listen, man, it's all about gimmicks, but you got to make them work. You got to make them work because the fans drive the league. That's what I'm saying. You got to get creative.
I think they need to get less creative. It just is what it is. The way they got creative is, okay, like Luka Doncic, you ain't playing, you can't win any awards. Thanks for the call, Greg. 888-808-1019. I don't care about the whole narrative of a family of four goes to see LeBron. If you're going to see LeBron, Like, you're doing that at your own risk. And LeBron is playing. I mean, the other night, I could have sworn this girl was a paid actor. That little girl that they had crying because she could see LeBron. Please. She was like 9 years old. What has she seen LeBron do? Win the NBA bubble championship? I'm like, yo, this is L.A. I don't believe anything anymore. Everyone is either acting, pretending for social media. That girl had to be a paid actor. She's wearing a LeBron jersey. She's with her family. I'm like, what did she see from Bron? If she's 10, she only really remembers the last 5 years of her life. What does she see LeBron do? She missed Miami Heat LeBron. She's a Laker fan. What'd she see LeBron do for the Lakers? Win the in-season tournament? Gotta be an actor. I don't believe anything. The artificial intelligence, AI, all the social media is garbage. Everything you see on there, you got to double check, read twice. They're banned on TikTok. I don't believe anything I see anymore. Keith McPherson on the Fan. How much time do I have left, Paulie? We're gonna end this at 10:15. I have 20 minutes left. Call up. I'll be right back.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Okay, I'm back. Cam to 10 minutes from now. I was hating on LeBron a little bit. I don't want to just sound like I'm a LeBron hater. Like, I respect the king, but I just thought it was just fake. I thought it was a complete act. Maybe it wasn't a paid actor, but like, what would a 10-year-old girl know about LeBron James that would make her be in tears, so starstruck, where she was like, oh my God. Like, she didn't see Miami Bron, and she's too young to remember Cleveland. This is for you. Like, Lakers Bron only from 2018 to now, maybe. But what did he do in L.A.? That's why I said, like, come on. The bubble, the in-season tournament, I just don't feel like LeBron is like that. Like, LeBron has some stands, but they are like 28-year-old dudes, not 10-year-old little girls in L.A. that are courtside. Maybe she watched a bunch of YouTube and her dad and mom hyped him up, but I wasn't going for it. 888-808-1019. Actually, don't call. Coming up next is Brooklyn Nets basketball. Let me see if I can get these last four calls out the way. Actually, let me give you my picks. Again, I spoke on the games. I wouldn't bet any of the spreads. I just don't trust the spreads. I'm going money line Chiefs, money line Lions, money line Eagles, and money line Bills. Sorry, Lamar. I would love to see Lamar and Derrick Henry pull it off. I just think that they're going to have something. And if we all know that they're going to run the ball, I'm putting everybody in the box. Ed Oliver's in there. Von Miller's in there. Matt Milano's in there. I'm walking the safeties up. I'm making you throw to beat me, and I don't know if they'll be able to get that done. And it's in Buffalo. They got to travel to Buffalo. It's cold. There's going to be some weather. I just think Josh Allen gets it done. And unfortunately, Lamar will win his next MVP. But I don't know. I can't. I'm taking the Bills. Bills, money line. Eagles money line, Lions money line, Chiefs money line. I don't trust the spreads. Okay, let's take the rest of these Pete Alonso calls. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, thank you for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
Listen, on Pete Alonso, okay, I mean, you know, we're Yankee fans, but let me say this, okay? I mean, Pete Alonso had never, now that you got Soto, he never had a team that you got great players playing with him, okay? He has no protection, okay? He's a homegrown, I mean, the way I look at it, if we gave Volpe all these years, okay, I mean, why can't we give this guy, I mean, a chance to see if he's what's going on? Because you know what I'm saying. I mean, he needs
the Yankees signed Pete Alonso
because in order to compete against the Dodgers, you not only have to get Guerrero Jr., you also got to get great pitching and maybe Tucker for the Cubs, okay? And this is where the Boris messed up, okay? Boris dropped the ball because he had a chance. When he went to Steve and tell him, listen, you want Soto? You got to promise me, since he's one of my, I'm his agent, I want you to get my man Pete Alonso to play for the Mets. At least,
it doesn't work like that. There's no promises like that. You know what Steve Cohen told him? He said, this guy's going to make $800 million over the next 15 years. If you live to see all that, you're gonna get a big chunk of it. There's no promises for Pete Alonso.
That, and you know
are
what?
You seriously Soto, saying that the Yankees should sign Alonso? On top of signing Paul Goldschmidt? On top of having Cody Bellinger that can play first base? DJ LeMahieu that can play first base?
Well, listen, I'm talking about really, I mean, this is the guy that the fans love, okay? I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it's 90% of the core you get with Pete Alonso.
Fans. Okay? The only guy that really don't care about the Mets.
Dustin Carter is the only one all of a sudden they don't want him in the team. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's a Mets thing. That doesn't mean that the Yankees got to pick up. It doesn't work that way. Thanks for the call, Lou. The Mets have a system of picking up Yankees when they leave the Yankees, more so than the Yankees have a system of picking up Mets. Keith, they signed Dom Smith. Dom Smith may never see the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. If the Yankees wanted to pursue Pete Alonso, there would have been an offer out there. They would have made it interesting with the Mets. They were not interested. Riley's in Rockville Center. Riley, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith. I'm in the car, 3-hour ride with my 10-year-old. All he wanted to do was call up Keith McPherson. And
nice.
On the radio.
What's his name?
And we get to talk to you. He's Riley. He's Riley.
Riley and Riley Jr., what up?
Yeah, we're heading to Boston to go play soccer with his Santos team, so we're excited.
Oh, wow. In the cold? Or is it indoor league?
No, it's an indoor league. It's not a league. It's a tournament. It's a tournament.
Good luck.
We're driving from Long Island, heading up there, had a basketball game, and now heading to Boston. So we'll see. But here's my thing, Keith. Here's, with the Pete Alonso thing, right? I think that what Alonso's doing is he's just going through stages, right? I believe that he was angry, saw the money that the Mets gave to Soto, right? Really, I believe he wanted to be a Met. And then I think he hit a little bit of regret because I think that he regrets not taking that initial contract for the 7 years, 158. And I do think that he's going to get to the point where he's going to realize the Mets didn't do him a disservice. They offered him another good contract with the 3 years for 90. And I see, or at least I'm hoping, that he does play it differently. And he is the guy that goes to Boris and says, go back to them and do what you got to do. This is the team I want to be at. And he realizes that they didn't treat him unfairly. Boris kind of screwed him on this one. So, you know, that's my hope.
I think we're losing time on that. If that happens, it would have to happen by this weekend. I think once we get to Monday into next week, somebody's going to materialize some type of offer for him. Some market is going to appear. You guys drive safe. I appreciate it. I'm flattered. Thank you, Riley Jr., for listening during your ride and calling into the show. You got through. Greg in Huntington on the fan. You got 2 minutes.
Hey, thanks, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. Talk about McCown first. McCown does not want to be an offensive coordinator. That's probably what you heard.
Yes, that's correct.
He wants to be a coach. So he said, everyone, no OC. Because the thought would be, if they got Aaron Glenn, bring McCown as the offensive coordinator, and it'd be lovely if they got Ray Agnew from them too, but I'm not going to go there right now. Just disgruntled Jets fans. Let's talk about Pete. I'm a Yankee fan, and plain and simple, there's a reason why the Mets don't have old-timers games, and this is one of them. They know how to treat. Pete was teaming on a rookie deal, gave the best years of his life. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm just talking about Pete's defense. He gave him some good years, put up some good numbers, and there's a good chance he could have gone away with some extra hardware for, you know, or a plaque or two saying that he's the all-time Mets home run leader. Is he getting greedy? It's up to him. You know something? He deserves a payday. He gave already to this team. And I'm not going to say they turned their back on him, and I'm not going to say Pete's not being greedy. But when you have something like this, both sides can give it a little bit. I'd like to see that happen. But the best part about all this, I called up Hoff today, and I talked to Paulie, and the Mets are squirming, and they didn't work. They weren't squirming. They were shot when they got Soto. But now they're squirming because they're all acting like GMs. And the fact is that this is a family. Cohen's got to stand up, really be the man, walk in here and say, give him an extra $10 million. Let's put the family together and let's make everyone happy. That's all. Have a great night, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Greg. I did hear that call earlier. I just think that we are still talking about this as if this isn't already done, as if they didn't go out and sign two other players. Jonathan in Los Angeles on the fan. Quick, my man, what's up, bro?
Yo, what it do, bro? I'm going to make it really quick. That's Sasaki circus, bro. I don't know why he did that. Seriously, it was foolish of them doing that. That's the circus, man. They're clowns already. But, hey, you can't hate on that, Keith. You can't hate on it. It is what it is. Yo, Keith, something really funny, bro. I was on Instagram, and I know you enjoy his page, too. You got a dollar, bub? I was like, yo, my guy, Keith, follow me.
Yo, that's yo, my guy. He's hilarious.
Weekend,
can I get a dollar? Got a dollar. Paperback. George Washington. Thanks for the call, yo. Last call goes to Josh in the Bronx. What's up, Josh? You're on the thing.
Hey, very quickly. Hey, can we get on at the first Shohei Ohtani money too, man? I mean, like, he's like the pipeline for the Dodgers. Come on, MLB. Do something about it. Hey, Keith, great show. Thank you for taking the call.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Don't bother betting on the NFL. I thought we were going to talk about the college football national championship, but we'll do that Monday night when I'm on and we know the results. Everybody have a good weekend. Be safe wherever you are. Pete Alonso is not going to be a Met. I just think he's got too much pride. Scott Boras as well. Ship has sailed. But that doesn't mean the Mets won't sign another bat like Santander, maybe Tanner Scott. The Yankees aren't interested. They need to trade Marcus Stroman. And, yeah, the Knicks. I don't know about the Knicks. The Brooklyn Nets are coming up next against LeBron. Against LeBron out there in L.A. Look for paid child actors whooping it up for LeBron. Oh, my God. The GOAT. LeBron. I can't believe I'm looking at LeBron, who I've only seen play for the Lakers. All right, I got to go catch the train. I'm out of here. At Keith McPherson, wherever you follow people at, but you don't got to follow me. Just take a look. I got enough followers. They're about to ban TikTok, so I'm out. See you Monday. Bye-bye.
Radio 101.9.